I'm to talk about the Spirit and the bride say, come. Those of you familiar with the New Testament know that this is in the closing part of the book of Revelation. And so we're going to bring to the close the lectureship on the Holy Spirit. We're going to bring to a close the statements given in the New Testament guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, this Bible is not the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people will make fun and say, oh, you believe the Bible is the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit has given to us the Bible. The Holy Spirit is a divine person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit guided and directed or inspired individuals to give us the truths of this book. And when Christianity was to be introduced to the world, the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit came upon them. They spake in other tongues that the Spirit gave them utterance. They went, they preached. They needed helpers and various congregations to teach. And so they laid hands on certain members of the church and imparted unto them certain miraculous gifts. But all of these were to cease, and they have ceased. The truth has been given. It has been confirmed. It has been recorded. And this book is perfect and complete and able to furnish us completely unto every good work. That's Paul's statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. And Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, that we have all things pertaining unto life and godliness. God has given unto us all that we need. So what we need to do is to preach the Word of God, teach the Word of the Lord, and the Spirit operates through the Word or by means of the Word. That's His instrument. It is the sword of the Spirit. Many fine lessons have been given along that line. I'd like to read a few verses, therefore, beginning at verse 14, chapter 22. John, coming to the close of the book of Revelation. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. He has written of the New Jerusalem, the beautiful, eternal home of the soul, as this and as that. No death, no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no heartaches or cares, or sad farewells. Now then, blessed are they that do the Lord's will, keep the Lord's commandments, live as the Holy Spirit has directed in His Word, and they will enter in through the gates into the city. Far without, on the outside, in hell, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, the filthy, the impure, the unclean, not the sense of literal dogs. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Therefore I have used John to give unto you and to the churches and down through the ages the book of Revelation. Now then, verse 17, our text. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then John adds, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Leave it like it has been written. Don't you add anything to it, take anything from it, or change it in any way whatsoever. And that principle applies to all of the Word of God. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. His coming will be quickly, suddenly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, is John's comment. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And may I say tonight, we love you, as has been expressed by others. And may the grace and mercy and the favor and the love of the Lord be with all of you. Now then, this is it. John could say, that's all, folks. That's all there is. You've got it now from the Holy Spirit. This is final. Don't add to it. Don't change it in any way whatsoever. I've given the last. In the closing part of our Lord's earthly ministry, after His resurrection, you remember that Peter and John and others were on the Sea of Galilee and fished all night and caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus is on the shore and He cried out, have you caught anything? And they said, no. Then they began to recognize Jesus, and John said, that's the Lord. And Peter jumped out of the boat and began swimming and went to the shore. And then after they had eaten, as the Lord had prepared the coals there and the fish, He asked Peter, do you love me? You remember that. Three times he confessed he loved the Lord. He turned to John. And what about this individual? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You just follow me. John writes that the saying went out that he was not going to die. John wouldn't die. He says, Jesus didn't say that. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to you, Peter? You just follow me. It is thought that John perhaps was the last apostle living at this time to give unto us the book of Revelation. He tarried till Jesus came to reveal the things of the book of Revelation. The church in this suffering, be thou faithful unto death, but bind by heaven, the eternal home of the soul. Given to us, I think, about the year 96 A.D. That's wonderful. He's an old man at this time. He's given unto us not only the book of John, but 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and now the book of Revelation. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you, Peter? You just follow me. Maybe you did. Anyway, it's a great book. But now let's come to the verse tonight. There are no more prophets. This is complete. In the early part of the 600s, there was a man in Arabia, Muhammad, claimed to be a prophet of God. And they finally put together some teaching called the Quran. That movement swept that part of the world. It is a dominant religion today in various parts of the world. And it's coming into America as never before. Mohammedan, Muslim religion, Allah the true God, and Muhammad is His prophet, is their teaching. Certainly there is the true God, Allah, Arabic for God, Jehovah. But he is not the true prophet of God. He is not inspired, or he was not inspired. And the book that they claim to have is not an inspired book, as we have the Bible, the Word of God. Well, we've had other so-called prophets down through the ages. Mohammedism claims to be the fastest growing religion in the world today. They say that's true in America. I don't know. But I know one thing, Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. He didn't give us any miracle to confirm his message, as Brother Tony talked about in the last hour, to prove his message being divine. Oh, I've seen pictures of the great crowds of people that go into Mecca and around the tomb of Muhammad. But it's a false teacher, false religion. Christianity is the only divine religion in the world today. And this book, the Bible, is the only divinely given book in the world today. And we need to proclaim it, and we need to teach it. Well, what about Joseph Smith and the plates? Well, he wasn't the true prophet of the Lord. What about Charles T. Russell, J.F. Rutherford, and go on down the line? No, no. There may come so-called prophets, And there may come so-called messages from the Lord. But John brought it to a close, and you're not to add to it, not to take from it. It's been given and confirmed and recorded, and this is it. Now then, what about it? The Holy Spirit says, come. I have revealed to you the truth, in other words. You have the message. You have the plan of salvation. You have the Lord's church that He built, that He established, that He paid for by His own precious blood. I have given to you the truth through inspired men. Now I say, come. Come in obedience to the gospel. Come and be baptized into Christ and become a Christian. Come and enjoy the blessings in Christ Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. What's the bride? Well, of course, we know the bride is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we today, as gospel preachers and as individual members of the church in private teaching, orally, through written messages maybe, from the pulpit, classrooms, in various ways, we teach the message of salvation. And so we're doing what the Holy Spirit has directed us to do, to teach. That's why Jesus said to His disciples, go to all the world, all nations, all dialects, everywhere, throughout the world, and proclaim the great message of salvation. Come, come, come and enjoy the blessings in Christ Jesus. Whosoever will may come. God wants all to be saved. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His longsuffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You are invited. All are invited. Let no one say, oh, the Lord doesn't care about me. He does. Jesus died for all. He tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. And whosoever will, who wants to, can come. The poor of India and Asia and other places. The rich, the poor, the high and the low. All are invited as accountable and responsible people. Whosoever will, if you want to, if you have that desire, you may come in obedience to the gospel of Christ and be saved and be added by the Lord to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the New Testament comes to a close. So the Holy Spirit came to reveal the truth and to proclaim the truth and to confirm the truth and to record the truth. And now it's up to us to preach the truth and tell people, you are invited. Here is what the Lord has prepared for you. Here is His invitation to you. Come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Whosoever will may come. And drink of the water of life freely. You must want to, whosoever will. Now, several things are implied in that wonderful statement. Number one, it is implied that people are away from the Lord, separated from God, come. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, the prophet of the Lord said, your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You are away from the Lord. You need to come. Come in the right relationship and fellowship with God to go to heaven. Accept the Lord's invitation. We are reminded of the invitation as given by Jesus while here upon this earth. When He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest under your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. That implies that people are away from the Lord and they need to come. But it also implies that people can come. And people must come to receive the blessing of the Lord. In John 5 and verse 40 we have Jesus saying to some, and you will not come to me that you might have life. He didn't say you cannot come, but you will not come. It's your will. You refuse to come. So man must do the coming. And man can come and obey the Lord. But you have heard lessons this week concerning some of the doctrines of men. that individuals are born in sin, and they must have some kind of a direct operation of the Holy Spirit to cause them to respond to the Lord and to be saved. Let me give you a little illustration. I've seen around here this week some sweet little children, some little girls. Suppose I take one of these little girls, oh, about 3 or 4 years of age, tie her in a chair, and then I stand back several feet with a beautiful doll. Oh, little girls like dolls, don't they? And I say, isn't this a beautiful doll? And lay down and shut its eyes and go to sleep. Wouldn't you like to have this doll? Well, I'll give you this doll. Come. Come to me. Come. And I will give you this doll. Come on. Come on. Well, she would say, I can't come. I'm tied to this chair. I can't come. And that's the sinner in the minds of some people. You can't. You've got to have a direct operation of the Holy Spirit for you to come. Is that the way the apostles preach it? No. Whosoever will, let him come. We're free moral agents. We may be hardened by sin, but we must come, we should come, we must come. And if we will come, we'll receive the blessing. Come in obedience to the Lord, of course. I would be considered a kind of a cruel, mean person to offer this little girl the beautiful doll and say, now I'm going to give it to you if you'll come. But I knew all the time she couldn't come. In the area where I grew up many years ago, in the denominational buildings, and bless their heart, I know they were good, sincere people, many of them. But they'd have a so-called revival or a meeting. And then they'd call for mourners. And they'd get them up. And then they'd pray for God to come down in convicting and converting power and save these people. I thought God had already given the convicting and converting power through the Word of God, the Gospel. That's why I preached on the day of Pentecost. They were pricked in their hearts. But no, that's not enough. God must do something else in addition. Come down and save them. They will preach to you that you're sinners and you need to be saved and Jesus died for you and come forward. And then if they didn't get the Holy Spirit, whatever that was that night, that certain feeling that they were saved, then they would finally dismiss the service. The lights were going out anyway, you know, those coal oil lamps, they were finally going dim. They had to close and come back tomorrow night. Some would finally get it, whatever it was, salvation, religion. Sometimes they wouldn't get it at all. Now that is not New Testament conversion. And that has been so plainly and clearly pointed out in the lessons this week. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If you want to, you can come. You are invited. All are invited. Christ has provided salvation for all. We sing the song, His grace reaches me. That's right. But I'm a sinner. You can be forgiven. If you repent and come to the Lord and do His will, you are invited. You can go to heaven. Lord wants you to go to heaven. How? By obedience to His will. Oh, but must I wait for a dream or a vision or a certain feeling? No. Just read this book or hear it proclaimed faithfully by any gospel preacher and do just what the New Testament teaches. Philip preached to the Ethiopian nobleman. He heard it. It came to a certain water. Having learned about Jesus, he said, look, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Did Philip say, well, have you had an experience of grace? Has Jesus come into your heart? I tell you what we'll do. We'll stop the chariot and let's have a little word of prayer. And I pray that Jesus may come into your heart. And you pray that Jesus come into your heart. And you just say God, Jehovah. And when you say that, then you're saved. And then after you're saved, it'd be all right for you to be baptized. Is that the way the book of Acts chapter 8 reads? Well, you know it isn't. If thou believest with all thine heart thou mayest, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stop the chariot. They both go down in the water. The man is immersed. He's baptized. They both come up out of the water. And the man baptized goes on his way happy and rejoicing. He's learned about Jesus. He has responded in obedience to the Lord. He has the assurance that he's been forgiven of his sins and pardoned. And now a child of God on the road to heaven. He wanted to obey the Lord. He did. He could, and he did. Now, that's the New Testament teaching, beloved, and gospel preachers are to make this plain and clear. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Of course, the expression water of life has to do with the spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus under the figure of refreshment. Acts 3 and verse 19 is a parallel to Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent, repent, be baptized, turn again. For remission of sins, or forgiveness of sin, sins blotted out. Gift of the Holy Spirit, seasons of refreshing from the Lord. That's Peter's second sermon, as recorded in Acts the 3rd chapter. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. We're baptized into Christ. And raised up therefrom to walk in newness of life. And we have the promise of heaven. If we remain faithful in the service of the Lord. And the book of Revelation was to encourage those early Christians facing persecutions and trials, even physical death itself. You hold on, don't give up, be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And then finally, as we see the beauties of heaven and bring it to a close, you can enjoy those blessings. You can go to heaven. And you know, isn't that wonderful? To go to other lands, as some have been doing, who are in this audience tonight, and tell people that message. They'll come and they'll listen and want to be baptized and become Christians and to live the Christian life. And then to help to provide for them a Bible and to encourage them to read it and to believe it and to obey it. Well, why can't people obey the Lord? Do you think they understand what the Bible says? Did the Holy Spirit guide and direct people in telling individuals what to do to be saved in plain language that they could understand? Sometimes people say, well, I don't know whether I understand it or not. Well, I think you do. I think you can. If you're accountable to the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. In the 9th chapter of the book of John, we read of Jesus finding a man born blind in Jerusalem one day. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, rubbed on the man's eyes, and said, go down to the pool of Siloam and wash. He understood what Jesus told him to do. And he went, and he washed, and he came seeing. Did Jesus tell him to do something that he couldn't understand? Well, you say, no, that's simple. Just a few steps down the hillside, and there's the pool of Siloam. I've been there. I've walked down there. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He did. There's the Old Testament story of Naaman who had leprosy. 2 Kings chapter 5. By and by, he went to the prophet Elisha. Elisha said to him, go to the Jordan and dip 7 times. He had leprosy. He wanted to be cured. He had a lot of money to give. Changes of clothing. More suits than the ordinary preachers got. Willing to give all of that to be cured. When he heard that, he thought, well, that's silly. That's ridiculous. Why go to the Jordan and dip? Besides, if I need to go to a river, I've got rivers in my homeland. Abbott and Farper, why not dip there? Why go to the Jordan? But he understood what the Lord told him to do through the prophet. He started away in a rage, and one of the servants said, well, now, Naaman, you came down here to be cured. You want to be cured. You're dying with leprosy. And here's what you're told to do. Why don't you do it? That's good reasoning. Just why not do what the Lord prophet said? And he turned and he changed and he went to the Jordan. And maybe you can just imagine, he dipped 1 time and he still had leprosy. And that's a horrible disease. Jim and I have seen individuals with leprosy in India. Woo! Hard to describe it. Dipped the 2nd and 3rd and 4th time, he still had leprosy. Why? Because he hasn't obeyed the Lord. Well, you say he's partly obeyed the Lord, I know, but partial obedience isn't obedience. Well, why did the Lord say seven times? I don't know. That's God's side. Our side is to obey. Did he understand what the Lord said to do? Yes, he did. That's easy. It's simple. The Bible says he dipped the seven times. And when he dipped the seven times, his flesh became whole, cured like that of a little child. Now, we know the water of the Jordan didn't cure him. The Lord cured him. But the Lord didn't cure him until he did what the Lord told him to do. But the Lord told him something that was simple and easy to understand. All right. Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do we understand that? Sure. On the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? We've been convinced that Christ, the Son of God, raised from the dead and fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. You repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for unto, in order to obtain the remission or forgiveness of your sins. You understand that? Surely so. My friend, it isn't the question of not being able to understand what the Spirit has revealed. It's the question, will we do what the Bible teaches? Oh, what about people who haven't obeyed it? We have the assurance of the forgiveness when we do what the Lord tells us to do. False doctrine keeps so many people from obeying the Lord today. And we know that's true. And so when we point out what the Bible says, and then what individuals are saying to keep people from believing and obeying the Bible, we are friends to them. It's not because we don't love them, we do. But Satan tries to blind their minds, prejudice them in some way or another. And that is so, so very sad indeed. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9 and verse 17, we have the statement that God is ready to pardon. He's ready to save. He doesn't have to be begged to get ready. He's ready. You are the one to respond. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so when John came to the close of the book of Revelation, he said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. Come, it's you. God is inviting you. Whosoever will may come. Don't harden your heart by disobedience to the Lord. I suppose more people will be eternally lost because they said, well, I've got plenty of time yet. I'm going to one of these days. I know I should. I plan to do that, but not now. And something happens. They die without obeying the Lord. And then it's too late. It's forever too late. And eternity will be a long, long time to regret not obeying the Lord and doing His blessed will. So as gospel preachers, we must plead earnestly with people and beg of them to obey the Lord. All of us are familiar with the story of the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas had been beaten with rods and placed in jail, fastened, their feet and hands. But at midnight, they were singing and praying, and the prisoners were listening. Ah, there's power in singing. I don't know what they were singing. One of the Psalms, maybe. Earthquake comes. The doors open. They're unloosed. But they all stay inside. The jailer, hearing that, knowing Roman law, if you let the prisoners escape, your life will be taken. Surely they escaped. The door's wide open. Maybe the moon was shining and he could see. And he drew his sword. He's going to end his life privately, not publicly. Let it happen. And Paul, knowing what he was about to do, quickly he said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Stop. And he came in trembling and fell before these preachers and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, you know, it's going to take a long time and a lot of teaching for me to do that, but we can start tonight. And then we'll finish up in a month or two, maybe. No, he didn't say that. In one comprehensive statement, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then they teach him. They preach to him that night. And his house, his household. And the Philippian jailer said, well, that sounds good. I understand what I must do. I'm going to think about it for several days and I may do it later. No, he didn't say that, did he? He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Sorry what had happened to them. And they go to the river, little stream right down below there. You walk down the steps of the street, a few steps. There's a little stream from the old jail. And he was baptized. And all of his household, his family, that night, they come back into his house. He sets food before them and rejoice, believing in God with all of his house. He's now a saved believer. He was a pagan, but they learned about Christ. And that is how the New Testament comes to a close. Are you present tonight? You need to do that. Oh, why not tonight? Don't wait and don't put it off. The Holy Spirit says, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Won't you come tonight and be baptized into Christ? The Baptist is ready. A preacher here waiting to assist you in being baptized. One of the brethren. Have you not been faithful? You ought to be. You're going to die one of these days. Will heaven be your home? Don't you need to come back and acknowledge wrong and ask God's forgiveness? The Lord wants you to come back. It's your decision. We could do it for you if we could, but we can't. You must decide yourself. Whosoever will may come. Let us stand and sing.